Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. August 10, 2022. My new article on LinkedIn, The Clash Between Islam and Judaism. The never-ending clash between Israel and the Islamic world is far deeper than a dispute over land or territory. The ultimate purpose of Islam is to rule the world. It may take years, decades, centuries, or millennia, but the ultimate goal is for Islam to govern the planet. They have patience, persistence, devotion to their faith, and as we can see, Islam is making headway the world over. Jews, on the other hand, have no ideology at all. Currently, our only ideology is to indulge in selfish pleasures. But at the basis of our nation lies a unique idea that neither Islam nor any other religion can accept: love of others as much as one loves oneself. Currently, Jews do not give a second thought to this idea. They are as afraid of it as any other faith, if not more so, since they are the ones tasked with spreading it around the world. But Jews, as we said, are immersed in the exact opposite of love of others, and therefore no one spreads this notion today. And this is what our world looks like, a planet whose inhabitants fight against each other to the death. Because our current way of life has nothing to do with our vocation, and everything to do with indulgence, the tendency among Jews in Israel is to seek a quieter place elsewhere. When Zionists first came to Israel, they believed that our historic homeland was the place where we could build a safe haven for the Jews. We did not look for a place where we could realize our calling, to love our neighbor as ourselves and become a light of unity to the nations. Instead, we only sought a place where we would not be slaughtered and persecuted. In the first years of Israel's existence, there was an intense feeling of existential threat. This made us come together whenever the conflict with our neighbors became violent. Over the past several decades, we have come to realize that our enemies are not strong enough to annihilate the Jewish state. They can hurt us, but they cannot demolish the country. As a result, we turned once more toward indulgence, just as we did while we were in the diaspora. Since the modern state of Israel was not established on the ideology of mutual responsibility and love of others, but as an attempt to find safety, the minute we did not need unity as a means of survival, we threw it out the window. Now, our enemies rejoice when they see us clashing with each other. They know that if they are patient, we will disintegrate from within and they will not need to fight against us on the battlefield. If we want to have a foothold in the land of Israel, we must rethink our reason for being here. Israel is no longer considered a safe haven. Even for those who do come here for reasons of personal safety, it is no longer a strong enough motivation to remain here. The future of the country depends on understanding the real purpose of the Jewish people and embracing its vocation. The ideology of the Jewish people is love of others. This was the basis of our peoplehood when we first became a nation at the foot of Mount Sinai. Therefore, only if we strive for it do we merit the title People of Israel, and the right to live in the land of Israel, the land of the people who strive to love each other as themselves and set an example that will be a light to the nations. We currently have no idea about our vocation, yet our existence in this country depends on knowing it. Therefore, educating ourselves and our children about the meaning and purpose of the Israeli nation is vital for our future. If we want to win the ideological war with Islam, then just as they are taught to hate Jews from infancy, we should teach our children to love others. If we bolster our solidarity and increase our unity, no enemy will stand against us. Real Judaism is not about services and customs. Real Judaism means rising above our selfishness, uniting above the ego, loving, or at least striving to love, each other as ourselves, and doing these in order to be a light to the nations, to set an example for the world. Michael Leitman, on the Times of Israel, Bring Back the Pioneer Spirit. When I came to Israel in 1974, I was sent to a hotel that accommodated New Elim, Jews who had just immigrated to Israel. Each family was given a room and we slept, dined, and learned Hebrew there. One day, I found out that one of the waiters serving us, in the dining hall was actually the owner of the hotel. He had donated his hotel for several years to help new olim in their first steps. I was amazed to discover that there were people with such spirit. That man was a true pioneer, and it was the pioneer spirit that drove him to do what he did. That spirit did not let him sit by, but galvanized him to do something meaningful in his life. Today, this spirit is a rarity, and we desperately need to find a way to bring it back to life. The pioneer spirit exists in the heart of every Jew. After all, every Jew is a descendant of pioneers who paved the way for a new social model of mutual responsibility and solidarity, which was unheard of at the time. Until Abraham began to spread his ideas about mercy and love of others, and until Moses had turned the descendants of Abraham's group into a nation, the idea of a nation fashioned by transcending one's ego was unthinkable. The prevailing conduct was that the strong rules and subjugates or annihilates the weak, both among nations and among individuals. Here, however, was a new concept, embodied in the words of King Solomon, Prof. 10:12, "Hate stirs up strife, and love will cover all crimes." The golden rule, "Love your neighbor as yourself," represents the core of being Jewish. It is not a commandment to do something or say something. Nor is it a commandment to praise a deity or worship it. It is simply a commandment to love others as much as you love yourself. The pioneers who established the State of Israel did a great job at founding a sovereign country in a land that was largely swamp and desert when they came here, and against six charging armies that sought to annihilate the Jewish presence in the Middle East. However, they did not finish the job. They established a state, but now it is up to us to nurture the soul and spirit of that state so as to merit the name the State of Israel, a country that hallows one and only law, love your neighbor as yourself. If we take the next step and fill the heart of the Israeli people with the Israeli spirit of solidarity, mutual responsibility, and above all, love of others, it will be our final triumph. No one will challenge our presence here because everyone will realize that we are not here for ourselves, but for the world, to carry out our calling and be a light to the nations, spreading the light of unity and friendship above all differences and conflicts. If we rise above our internal divisions toward unity and love, we will complete our ancestors' task, and their pioneering spirit of caring for others will spread around the world. Therefore, the only war we need to wage is against our egos. The only victory we need is the victory of unity over division. Combinations of light and the desire to receive. Question: let's say a person living in this world feels some kind of dissent or assent, good or bad mood, and some situations happen to him. Is it all the effect of light? Answer: yes, of course. This is how we feel the light. It transforms within us, into all kinds of scenes and images. But in principle, there is nothing but light and the desire opposite to it. These two opposite qualities, light, the desire to bestow, to fill, and the opposite desire to receive, that is, positive and negative qualities, exist only in nature. Their combinations with each other are presented to us, as all kinds of objects and phenomena. From CAB TV's Spiritual States, July 19, 2022. The point in the heart is the foremost hidden desire. Question: what is the connection between Reshimot, and is there an influence of the point in the heart on them? Answer: the point in the heart is the central and foremost hidden desire in us. We have to connect it with the desires of other people and with the Creator. Then we will bring the entire creation to the correction, to one single desire called Adam. All human history is the revelation of Reshimot. From CAB TV's Spiritual States, July 12, 2022. What happens to the soul when the body dies? Question: What happens to a man, to his soul, when he dies? Answer: When a man dies, his body dies and he no longer perceives himself through his body. That is all. But his reshimot remain. A reshimo is a record, an information chain about its further states. It is recorded from the beginning of creation to the end. And from the moment his body dies, he continues to realize this chain of reshimot in other forms without being clothed in a corporeal body and without perceiving his existence through it. Question: But is there any realization that this is my reshimo? Answer: Yes. But it is not like now. Question: Better or worse? Answer: It depends on his life. Question: So there remains some awareness that I exist? Answer: Of course. Nothing disappears. Question: What happens to the soul then? Answer: The soul is that part of the desire that has corrected itself and united with humanity in order to effect good on it. Thus the soul continues its existence in the total volume of the whole of the desire. This is a different realization, a higher one. From CAB TV's Spiritual States, July 12, 2022. There is only one problem with music. In the news, The Telegraph, Cambridge music students are being instructed to decolonize the ear and consider the classical canon as an imperial phenomenon. The works of composers such as Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart and Giuseppe Verdi are being taught in relation to topics including European imperialism and Orientalism, as the music faculty pursues work on curricular decolonization. Undergraduates studying for the course, titled Decolonizing the Ear, are taught to consider listening to sound in a post-colonial way, while a Music, Power, Empire module explores how the classical repertoire is a middle-class and imperial phenomenon. According to a course guide for decolonizing the ear, undergraduates will examine topics including how musical repertoires could be complicit in projects of empire and neoliberal systems of power. Students also learn how empire affected our understanding of what constitutes music and how genres like opera seem particularly susceptible to racialized representations. Question: To be honest, I thought that music was above all this. Tell me, you like classical music, rap, you also like jazz, how do you connect all this? Answer: What is the difference? This is an expression of human feelings, and therefore I welcome it all. I can listen to Odessen folk songs and criminal ones too. And Vysotsky songs, a famous Soviet bard. In every expression there is a piece of some soul. This is the main thing. Question: How can we avoid reaching these prohibitions? Answer: This is the limitation of people. Question: How can you reach such a height while listening to music? Answer: You can raise any criminal song, whatever you want, to a high level, because this is the work of a person, no matter how low or insignificant, you can say about him whatever you want, but this is a work emanating from the forces of his soul. This is why you cannot just strike it out. Question: What can connect me with this person, who, frankly speaking, is low? Answer: I would say that the ability of a composer, an artist, a poet, a writer, is to highlight or to express some feature in our character, which was created, in principle, by the Creator. Therefore we must understand that there are no bad qualities, there is only a problem of how we treat them correctly in order to see the Creator's thought in them. Then the most terrible works of hatred will get their rightful place in the common human pantheon. Comment: Now you are destroying all the stereotypes by saying that there are no low and high genres. My response: There is nothing bad, low, or terrible. All this is necessary for us, only so that we treat it as a direct communication with the Creator. Everything comes from Him, and all of us must bring it all and bow before Him. That's all. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, June 6, 2022. rising above your beast. Comment: if I look at myself on the basis of my feelings, I begin to understand that some unpleasant transformations are taking place inside me. But if I look from some additional point, if earlier my beast was suffering, and I was ready to save it, now. My response: now you understand that maybe this beast should be patient for a little while, and you will ride it. You are already beginning to study yourself from the outside. Comment: but at the same time, there still is the association of myself with this beast and the attempt to find the strength to overcome this. My response: yes, you still associate yourself with it, and this state does not go away until the final correction. The animate level that exists in us should be the basis for the spiritual degree. On it, I make my spiritual elevation. Until I have completely finished it, this level is underneath me. Therefore, I must exist in the sensation of this body and this world until I fully come into contact with all people on the internal level to such an extent that I no longer need the level of today's animalistic communication with them. Then this level will disappear. It is depicted only in our feelings. The world is matter given to us, in feelings. Therefore, this degree will disappear. We remain to exist only in the spiritual state, and the corporeal states will catch up and enter spirituality as its components. Literally, from the very first degree of our spiritual ascent above corporeality, we will begin to understand that this world is imaginary. It does not exist, it is within us. It does not exist outside of our feelings. I hope that humanity will quickly realize this. Science, philosophy, sociology, and psychology are already ready for this. I think that everyone will soon begin to understand this, and this will also help. The main thing is to start looking at yourself and at the world in this way, and this will come. From Cab TV's I Got a Call. The Secrets of Kabbalah, February 11, 2013. We won't know where to run. In the news, UN News, a staggering 100 million people have now been forced to flee their homes globally, the UN Refugee Agency, UNRWA, said on Thursday, highlighting worldwide food insecurity, the climate crisis, war in Ukraine and other emergencies from Africa to Afghanistan as leading causes. Every year of the last decade, the numbers have climbed, said UNRWA Chief Filippo Grandi. Either the international community comes together to take action to address this human tragedy, resolve conflicts and find lasting solutions, or this terrible trend will continue. My response: but it will be constantly renewed. Question: the UN has the same conclusions: change the situation, establish peace and stability. The same words, and the number grows and grows? To what extent can it grow? Answer: it is unlimited until all the people on Earth run in different directions. But where to? How to escape? Question: so it will be bad for a person at his place of birth even if he is provided with everything? Answer: in any state, for any person, it will be unbearable. Unbearable. And they won't know where to run. They will simply run in panic in all directions. It won't be known where and it won't be known why. It will only be clear that you won't be able to stay in the state that you are in. Question: all of my conditions will be bad. What about the homeland? This is my language, I want to continue living here. Will it all disappear? Will a person not have it anymore? Answer: it will disappear. Question: and what will move us from our homes? Are you saying that even if there is no war and there are no events that move you, you will still move? Answer: you will run, not knowing to where. We live without feeling the earth underneath us. Question: and why? I understand that people are running away from bad. You say everyone will start migrating, everyone will start moving. Why? Answer: it will be bad for everyone. That's the feeling. From the depths of the earth, from the depths of this ball, from inside, there will be some kind of hum, vibrations like, oh, ooh, 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 ooh. And everyone will tremble in unison and take off from their seats and will not know where to go. Meaning, I feel bad here, it will be better there. I run there, it's bad there, it will be better elsewhere. And like that non-stop for everyone, regardless of wealth, satiety, and so on. Question, you say, everyone. Will a Brownian lag motion begin? Answer, absolutely everyone. Question, will we start running around the globe? What are we all going to look for? A good life? Answer, we are looking, in general, for calmness. Because the upper force exists in absolute calm. We strive for it unconsciously, but we cannot achieve it. Question, what do you call calmness? For example, Finland is the happiest country, or Switzerland? Answer, I think it won't be for long. Question, even they will move? Answer, sure. But for them it will happen much slower. Question, what is the calmness of the upper force that we want to match? Answer, calmness is movement in unison with the upper force. And then you're at peace. Question, what is it? Where is it moving to? Answer, it doesn't matter to where, the main thing is that you are with it. It is always moving toward greater connection, interconnection, bestowal, love, merging, and so on. If you move with it in the same direction, it's already good. And if you're also trying to merge with it, to catch up with it, and stick to it like a baby to his mother, then you definitely feel good. We need this. This is the final degree of humanity. There is no higher one. And nothing more is needed. That's how the baby sticks to the mother, that's it, he doesn't want anything else. This is the safest, the calmest, the best condition. That's it. This is what we will strive for. But before that, we will have to be shaken thoroughly on the globe and look for how we can come to some inner peace after all. Because the rumble that will come from it from the inside will vibrate in us, and we will not know where to escape from it. It's a very scary feeling. This rumble is a call of the upper force, and we will have to give in to this vibration. It will pass through us. It will force us to be in this vibration, to search for its source, its causes, and its purpose. And we will see that we have to follow it. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, June 6, 2022. Michael Leitman, on Quora, should children be allowed to choose their gender? I understand that there is an inclination in some people to fervently yearn to feel themselves in a foreign body of the opposite gender, as I have known such people. However, they were individual cases that happened without any propaganda or coercion. But in terms of what is happening today, where such an ideology is fed to society regularly with a "so, who else is with us?" attitude, I think it is completely wrong. On one hand, it goes against nature-given circumstances. However, on the other hand, every quality of nature has exceptions to the rules. We thus naturally have men, women, and a number of individuals with feminine traits among men, and those with masculine traits among women, that is, people on such a borderline. There are indeed psychological nuances, and a lot goes on in nature. And each instance needs its own evaluation. Nonetheless, what is promoted throughout society greatly affects our development, especially children's. Influences in children's social, educational and media settings shape the children. That is, children can go to school and get convinced of just about anything, including changing their gender. For instance, children who have no proclivities whatsoever for changing their gender could reach the conclusion that they have to do it. Why? It is because of social influence and pressure that such a topic circulates the children's social influences, and children constantly consider where they fit in with others, in terms of their inferiority or superiority to them. They require the approval of their peers and their social environment, so they could go to great lengths for that approval. However, despite today's increase in the promotion of such influences, nature will sort everything out. The promotion of gender change to children is one of several scrutinies that humanity is undergoing in order to lead us to a point of helplessness, a dead end. We can already see how nature continuously guides us through many different paths, and each one results in a dead end, that is that we find no ultimate happiness or satisfaction through the various directions that we take. In short, my advice on this topic is to simply advocate that whoever has no such inclination naturally should be kept in their own natural state of being. Based on the video, should children be allowed to choose their gender? With Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman and Semyon Vinoka. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman.